The gift of the breath is that it has two parts, as the breathing in and the breathing out. And as we're conscious of that breath, as we're conscious of what we're breathing in and conscious of what we're breathing out, we can use the breath as a holy breath, as the breath of God, and let it do work in us. As we breathe in physically, we're breathing in oxygen that works in the system. As we breathe out, we're actually breathing out things that our body doesn't need. And recognizing that each moment is about that same activity, not just with our breathing, but every part of life. One of the ironies of preparing a lesson on healing is that you get an opportunity to experience what you need to be working on. And I remember when I was at school at the seminary at Unity Village, we had a section, one of our courses, we studied Jesus Christ Heals and another one of the Fillmore books on healing, and our instructor was sick the whole term. So in preparation for this lesson today, my throat is not the way I'd like it to be. And so it's recognition that healing is about being aware of what we need to release as well as what it is that we need to draw in. And so that's a part of our experience, and to recognize that it's not about right or wrong, good or bad, but it's about awareness. Awareness of that presence of God and what it wants to bring into us and what it wants to help us release as well. Last week when I talked about death and beyond, I talked about these physical forms that we have sometimes being called earth suits. Just as if you're in space, you need a space suit, and while we're on earth, we need earth suits, because who we are is not these physical bodies. We are spiritual beings. And in that same way, as we think about the bodies are not just physical. They're not just material. There's a spiritual element to them as well. They need food. They need water. They need rest. They need exercise. They need all those things. But they also need that spiritual breath, that breath of God, for us to breathe it in and to get that energy of blessing working in and through us. And it's always interesting to me, I've mentioned this before, that in all the ancient languages, Hebrew and Sanskrit, all the ancient languages, that breath and spirit are the same word. And so it's that the ancients recognized that connection between not just the physical breath, but that deeper awareness of that connection with God. I also want to add another metaphor to this idea of breath today and spirit, is that of living water, because that's the scripture that we have refers to that. Jesus is talking with the woman of Samaria, and he asks for water, and she has this whole thing that she does. And he says, well, if you knew who I was and asked me, I would give you living water. And so here's what he says, that whoever drinks of the water that I will give him, this living water, he will never thirst again. But the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. So there's this energy that's available to us. This energy of spirit, this energy of God that's there for us as we let it work in us, as we let it work in us. And I'll come back to that the image of the well in a moment. But what sort of caught my mind as I've been reading different things is there's some scientific research that has been done on insects, on plants, on bacteria, as well as on mammals, that when DNA is damaged, you know, usually in our mind, I remember, you know, when I had, you know, science in high school, that if the DNA was damaged, like that was it. Well, what they found is that the DNA can repair itself. It's as if there's an intelligence underneath, behind the DNA, that when it's damaged, will reconstruct it to what it's supposed to be. Now, I remember back also when, you know, in school, when I was in high school, one of the things that we were taught is that when nerve tissue was damaged, it could not regenerate. Well, what they found in the last couple of decades, that nerve tissue regenerates all the time. And so it's interesting to me how the human mind always sees limitations, but that spirit always brings something greater in life. It always brings a renewal and a strength. And so our job is to again, not to get caught in whatever the appearances are, whatever the pronouncements by the medical profession or about whatever it is that we're working in life, and to recognize that there's this larger energy, this larger wisdom, this larger intelligence of spirit that wants to come through us, that wants to breathe its energy of blessing into us in a larger way. I like the way Rumi put it one place. Speaking for the divine, he says, I am that breath that ignites you as an ember into fire. And so that's what that breath of God wants to do, wants to breathe in us this energy so that we come alive with it, so that we're, you know, we don't just sort of, you know, struggle through life, mope through life, but have a vibrancy and an energy that keeps us moving in a greater way. Now, again, to help us have this idea that this that there are invisible patterns that have a visible influence, we all know about magnetism. And so we've seen this before. So here's a bar magnet, and it's got this magnetic field. These are iron filings. And look here, the little compasses. And see how north changes by the magnetic field there. Each one of those, it shows a different thing. And so can you see magnetic energy? No. Can you see its influence? Yes. And so in that same way, can you see spirit? No. But can you see its influence? Yes. And so that's the key we want to recognize. Have you ever seen gravity? We've seen gravity at work, but we've never seen a gravitational field. You know, if we didn't have gravity, you know, our planet wouldn't be flying around the sun, which wouldn't be a part of a galaxy. You know, it's there all the time, and we see its influence. And so if we can believe in the invisible having a visible influence, then we can trust that spirit has this influence that can work in us in our lives. Now, the pattern for health, the pattern for wholeness, I call the Christ pattern, because that's a part of, you know, my background, my training, what I've worked with. And again, you can language it any way you want. You know, you can call it wholeness, you can call it infinite intelligence, you know, life. It doesn't matter, again, what we call it, but that we connect with it and engage with it so that it works in us in a greater way in our lives. Now, again, from a scientific point of view, well, I'm always fascinated to read about studies that show the effectiveness of prayer. And what they found through scientific double-blind studies, all those, you know, the typical thing, is that that when people are in a hospital situation having surgery, when they're prayed for, they recover from surgery faster, they have less pain, they have shorter stays in the hospital, and they have less of a chance of recurrence of whatever the problem was. Prayer has been shown to do that. And of course, what I always think fascinated is that the mystics of all ages knew this a long time ago. They didn't need scientific proof because, again, they were connected to this invisible presence, so they didn't need to have it outlined because they connected with it, they lived it. And so here's science is proving what the mystics have known all along. And so we can trust this intuitive part of ourselves to connect with this deeper living presence that is inside of us. One of my favorite stories along these lines was about a German chemist, Friedrich Kekulé. He was always fascinated with how the atoms would hook together, what configuration they were in. And he was studying the chemical benzene, and he couldn't figure out how all these chemicals were hooked together. And so he was, you know, working, and he was sort of taking a break in his mind. He was sort of daydreaming. And in his daydream, he saw the molecules just sort of floating around. All of a sudden, they came into a chain, and he saw them like a snake, and he saw the snake biting its tail. And all of a sudden, he came out of his dream and realized that the benzene was a ring, that the molecules were a ring. And it was that idea of the snake biting its tail that gave him that information. And of course, at that point, when he was studying, they didn't have, you know, the big microscopes, you know, the electron microscopes to see. So again, that intuition working through him revealed to him how those things work. And so that's the key. We have this connection in us, that this invisible pattern that wants to express itself through life. And so my invitation to you is this: to let God's life live vitally in you. Let it work in you. You know, and so my lesson today is God's healing life, and I want to have us look at this idea of how we usually think about God. Some people think of G-O-D, mean grand old deity. But I want us to think about a connection with God in a different way, and to recognize that we're given free will in this process, so we don't have to do this, but here's an invitation for you. The G, I want you to think of standing for gather. Gather larger life. There's ideas, there are energies, there are, you know, patterns that all different kinds at work in the universe. You know, on your radio, on your TV, you can tune into all different channels, can't you? You know, if you want to listen to sports, you can listen to sports. If you want to listen to travel, you can listen to travel. If you want to listen to news, you can listen to news. And it's the same way in consciousness. There's all different things that we can tune into. We can tune into negativity. We can tune into pain. We can tune into suffering. We can tune into life. We can tune into joy. We can tune into love. It's up to us to be aware of what we're tuning into. That presence of God is available to us, but we have choice. We're given that choice. So I want us to think about how this works. There's another little piece from Rumi. This is called Two Kinds of Intelligence. There are two kinds of intelligence. One acquired as a child in school memorizes facts and concepts from books and from what the teacher says, collecting information from traditional sciences as well as from new sciences. With such intelligence, you rise in the world. You get ranked ahead or behind of others in regard to your competence in retaining information. You stroll with this intelligence in and out of fields of knowledge, getting always more marks on your preserving tablets. There is another kind of tablet, one already completed and preserved inside of you, a spring overflowing its spring box, a freshness in the center of your chest. This other intelligence does not turn yellow or stagnate. It is fluid and it doesn't move from outside to inside through conduits of plumbing learning. This second knowing is a fountainhead within you moving out. It's interesting that our word education, our English word education, comes from a Latin word educare, which means to draw out. Usually when we think of education, what do we think of? You know, stuffing, you know, information, facts, figures into the head. But it's really about a process of drawing out. And so that's what Rumi invites us to look at. We want to gather this larger life inside of us. So there is a Jungian psychologist, Ira Progoff, who came up with this metaphor for the process. He called it the well and the underground stream. And he wanted us to imagine that there's this deep well within us that takes us down to this underground stream. Now, he wasn't thinking, because he was a Jungian, he was thinking in terms of the collective unconscious. But I want us to take another step beyond the collective unconscious to what we call superconscious, the superconscious mind or superconsciousness that's available to us. Infinite mind, divine intelligence, again, there's lots of ways we can language it. But again, within us, there is this deep connection that we have with this intelligence. Now, the way that it works is that these ideas, these energies, these blessings are always available to us. And think about for a moment when there were people all over the planet who were developing ways to fly, for humans to fly. You know, we think in terms of the Wright brothers because they were in the United States, but there were people all over the world who were doing it all about the same time. So here's this idea that wants to express, and it's waiting to see which human being is going to catch it, which human being wants to open their mind to this idea so that they can bring it forth. Oh, would it be somebody here, somebody here, somebody there? And so it's available to us. And again, once there's that connection, and once somebody lays hold of it, that idea finds its expression in life. Mozart talked about his music, and Brahms talked about his music. And what Brahms said was this. He says, I don't write this music. I just hear it and write it down, but don't tell anybody till after I'm dead. Mozart was different. Mozart says, I hear this music, and I can only capture some of it. There's so much of it. And one of the complaints that people, some of his contemporaries had about Mozart was that he had too many notes. And what he said, he didn't even get them all down. There were more notes that were there. And so, again, there's this symphony of life. It's another way of describing what this is, a symphony of life, this energy field, this blessing of spirit, this breath of God that's available to us if we tune into it. And again, there may be some things that we need to release so that we can tune into it, but it's there for us. And again, we have been taught to study illness. You know, if somebody goes to medical school, what do they study? They don't study health. They study disease. And if you think of the word disease, it's dis-ease. It's something that's come about because of stress. And so they study the symptoms, they study the breakdowns, and what happens is that they then exhibit those symptoms as they study them, because that's what they're focusing on. They're drawing that into their, that's what they're gathering into their consciousness. I don't want to do that. I don't want to gather into my consciousness what doesn't work. I want to gather into my consciousness what does work. And so again, we come back to that metaphor of that breath of God. That breath of God is life. I'm going to breathe it in and then let go. Whatever it is that I don't need. Breathe in wisdom and let go what I don't need. Breathe in love and let go what I don't need. And so we have this spiritual experience that's ready for us, that's available to us in every moment right where we are. And so rather than being fearful about a disruption in whatever system we're working on, again, whether it's our physical body or our finances or relationships or whatever, let's focus on the faith opportunities that are available. Yes, this situation isn't the way I want it. What can I bring to it? What can I bring from that divine mind? What can I bring from that breath of God? And breathe it into the situation. Breathe it into myself and then breathe it into the situation. Another thing that I always find fascinating too is that most of the advancements of science come from the fringes. You know, the people who are standing in the middle, they've got the belief, and this is the way it worked, there's their theories and everything, but there's somebody standing at the edge and they go, well, I see something different. And many times they're told to be quiet, you know. You shouldn't make noise, you shouldn't tell us about that. Again, you know, like the Wright brothers were told, well, if man was meant to fly, God would have given him wings. You know, think about Louis Pasteur when he was doing his work. People thought he was insane. Little bugs, little bacteria, what? That's nuts. But there they were. In fact, our body has billions and trillions of them. You know, more than the number of cells that we have. We have these little things, and they help us digest, they help us live, that are there. The other thing I think of, too, is there was a time, I think it was in the 18th century, when they were finding that women, when they were in the hospital, were catching illness from each other, and they couldn't figure out how it was. And finally, one doctor said, well, maybe we should wash our hands, you know, between examinations. They said, what do you mean, wash our hands? Where are the doctors? You know, it's like... Yeah, so it's from the fringes, from the edges, because they can sort of look around things and see that there's something more. And so whatever it is that you're facing, whatever the pronouncement was that this is the way it is, you know, this is the way it is, you don't need to believe that, because there's invisible presence that's there for you to draw on, to breathe into your being and let it express in your life and to know that it can work in a greater way. And again, just an example of how we get so fixed on a certain thing. There was a story about a church that was having a healing symposium, and they brought in a special a minister who was a healer. And so people were lining up to get prayer. And so this one guy comes up to the minister, and he says, well, what do you need? He says, well, I need help with my hearing. And so the minister puts his hands on his ears and prays for him. He says, okay, how's your hearing? He says, well, I don't know. It's not till next week. Yeah, there's something more. There's a larger way for us to see. And so I invite you to have this working in you. I am one with God's healing life. Ready to say it together? I am one with God's healing life. And again, I am one with God's healing life. So no matter what the appearances are, or what the medical field has said about your prognosis, it's all percentages anyways, right? Yeah, because some people defy the percentages. Why not us? Yeah. Why not us living in that? So here's another way to look at it. I live in a realm of, we could say the kingdom of, I mean, just another way of language. I live in the realm of living water. So that could be the metaphor that we use. I live in this realm of this living water. Or we could say God's healing breath. Or I live in the realm of God's energizing life. I live in the realm of the radiant Christ life. I live in the realm of infinite abundance. Again, whatever it is that you're working on in your life, have this sense that there's this invisible presence, this invisible power, this invisible intelligence that wants to express through you, that wants to fulfill itself through your life, through every part of your life. It's available. But we have to gather it in. We have to gather it into our consciousness. We have to gather it into our being and let it work. Here's another way to look at it. To be in tune with the infinite. To tune into that infinite presence and let it work in our lives. So gather. Then the next step, the O in God, stands for orchestrate this larger life. Because then we have to orchestrate our thoughts. We gather it in and then we have to line them up in a certain way. Because if you've ever noticed how sometimes you'll think one thought, which leads to another thought, which leads to another thought. And we have patterns. In life, you say, oh, so-and-so is late. Well, they're always late. You know, they're just not that responsible. They just don't care about me. And, you know, we have this little litany that we run through, right, in our mind. Well, guess who chose that litany? Guess who chose that order of thoughts? You did. I did. And if you want a different order of thoughts, then you get a chance to orchestrate that. Just as when Ron was arranging, you know, the music that we did for, you know, Be the Attitude of Christ. The music that I gave him was different than what he ended up with. It was much better after he orchestrated it, because he took it and changed it and put it together in a way that moved it forward in a way that was amazing. And so that's the idea. We take whatever comes in and we get a choice about how we put it together. And there are some things we look, oh, I don't need that. That's not going to help. Here's what's going to help. I'm going to think life, and then I'm going to think life in me. I'm going to think life in each cell of my body. I'm going to think about life expressing through all my systems. I'm going to think life and speak life, as people say, oh, how are you doing? I'm alive. I'm alive in God life. I'm alive in this energy of divine healing. And so you get to orchestrate that. You get to do that in your life, to recognize that. And so we get to, the way I phrase it here, is change our song. So if the song has been hell, how's life? Oh, it's hell. Change it to health. If you're saying, oh, I'm ill, change it to illumined. If you've been caught up in the ending, say, I am enduring. I am enduring. And so, again, we get to orchestrate. We get to change that in our lives. And there, again, there's this invisible pattern that wants us to tune into it to bring its life forth. And when I think of models of that, again, we can go to different cultures, different systems, and see in the Navajo tradition, the person who we would call the medicine man or the shaman, in their language, his title is singer. And what he does, his healing work that he does, is called a sing, because he's a singer. And what he does is, with his chanting, with his dancing, with the musical instruments that he has, his whole idea is that the person that he's working with has gotten out of harmony with the forces of life. And so his singing and chanting and moving is to get them back in alignment with those forces of life. And we say, well, that's sort of a primitive way. But again, if we understand that there's this invisible presence, this invisible pattern of life that's there, maybe they're closer to it than us trying to do it with drugs. You know, to live in that way. Think of Chinese medicine. The idea is that there's this energy, this qi. And again, our Western science say, well, we've never seen it. Well, have you ever seen gravity? You know? Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it isn't real. And so the idea is that if the qi is flowing, then the body is healthy. It's when it's blocked. And there can be a physical block, there can be an emotional block, there can be a mental block. And each one of those can be opened up with a process, you know, with the approach of the Chinese medicine with Reiki. I mean, there's all these different energy ways that, again, the whole purpose of it is get the energy moving again. Breath of God, breathe in, breathe out. It's a movement. It's an activity that we're a part of. And so we get to choose how we put this together in life. So as I think about living water as one of the metaphors for today, my mind thought about holy water. When we were on our trip to Ireland, we went to one of the sites that's in Ireland, as famous as Lourdes is in France. And it's, you know, and they've got there's springs and it's holy water, and people come from all over Ireland, all over the world, to be healed here. You know, just as in Lourdes, whether they immerse themselves in the water or they drink the water. And then we were traveling to the different churches in Ireland. Every one of them had these big water jugs with the label on, said holy water. I thought, well, I wonder how you make holy water. So I looked it up in the internet. How do you make holy water? One person said, you boil the hell out of it. That's not what the Catholics do. The Catholics and the Episcopalians and the Wiccans have a very similar process. They use salt. You make holy salt first. You bless it, and you put it in the water, and then there's a lot of prayers. There's like, you know, a seven-step prayers. You know, with each step, there's a prayer, and then you have holy water. So again, well, what makes it holy? Consciousness, right? Consciousness, belief, faith. And so that means if you decide that every glass of water that you drink is holy water, it is. If you decide that every bite of food that you take is holy nourishment, that's why we say grace, then it is. It becomes a blessing for us. Now, cookies, I'm not sure that counts. But
yes, it does.
Yes, it does. Maybe for you. If you can believe it, then I'll let you believe that, certainly. Chocolate chips. So in American Sign Language, the sign for life is So it's like where you are and just go, yeah, I'm going to lay hold of it. I'm going to let it work in me. I'm going to let it be alive in me. And this is, again, our orchestrating this larger life. We want to get our minds wrapped around health, abundance, and joy. Get our minds wrapped around so then we're tuned into this presence so that it can live itself. It can rise up and it can energize us. And again, sometimes there's this letting go that we need to have. What is it we need to let go so that we can do this? And that's the gift that's there, that spiritual pattern. So we have G, O, and then D. Demonstrate this larger life. And again, as I've mentioned a couple times, get your mind wrapped around health. Sing that energy of life through you. And again, whether you're singing with, you know, notes and words, it doesn't matter, but let it feel like it's singing in and through you. I talked with a doctor one time many years ago. We were talking about healing. And he says, I believe in spiritual healing. He says, because I know that what I do is not healing. What I do is help the body have conditions that are make it easier for it to be healed. He says, I'm not doing anything magic. I'm just helping the body get to that place where it can heal itself. And I remember years ago, one of the men who was a part of our congregation, he's passed away now, was an eye surgeon. And he said that before every surgery, he would gather his staff together with the patient, and they would pray. He would pray that each one of them was guided to perform their function in the highest and best way. And he says, and again, people came from all over the world to get surgery from him because he was successful, because it wasn't just him, it was something more. And so when we're praying, when we're demonstrating, it doesn't mean that we're never going to get ill. It doesn't mean that we're never going to have challenges with conditions. But it means that our experience will be different because we do pray. We'll go through those experiences in a different way because we'll be drawing on something more than just the material help. We'll be drawing on that spiritual help as well. And again, think about the word dis-ease, dis-ease. When we have a sense of ease, when we have a sense of releasing stress, then that energy of life can work with us in a different way. And so this is the gift that we have, to gather this larger life, to orchestrate it in a way that works for us so that we can demonstrate it in our lives. I've noticed that most of us, including me, that when we have some symptoms that we're working on, you know, we pray like heaven, you know, until it's gone. And as soon as the symptoms are gone, we stop, don't we? We stop that intensity. Well, what if we kept up that intensity of prayer for health and vibrancy and not just get to where we were, but get to another level of health? Keep that consciousness growing. Keep that consciousness expanding. Keep that consciousness drawing more and more of those gifts of God into our lives. Because again, isn't that what we want? To have that vibrancy in life. And so there is this living presence, this breath of God, this living water, all these different ways that we can describe it. And as we turn ourselves into it, tune ourselves into it, it can be alive from it, from us. So decide that it's a reality. And decide that you want to live from it. Decide that you want to live as it in your life. You know, when I think of, you know, spontaneous remission, which just baffles the doctors. You know, it just baffles them. But it happens all the time. But think of that word remission. Remission. We get a new sense of mission about who we are and what we are, and it changes things in our lives. So I call it God's healing life. You can call it an infinite pattern. It doesn't matter what we call it. But again, as we pray, as we think on these ideas, they're activated in us. And there's an activation of this realm of blessing working in and through us. So again, gather that larger life. Orchestrate that larger life. Demonstrate that larger life. Jesus called it in this place, living water. Drink deep. Breathe deep of that breath of God. Let it fill you. Let it enliven you. Let it energize you. It will be your blessing. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for that breath that enlivens us. Thank you for that living water that nourishes us and satisfies us. Thank you for the light of your being that illumines us. Thank you for all the ways that we can embrace and understand your living presence. We know that you are more than enough to be our blessing. We let ourselves be gathered into that and let it work through us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.